This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
I bet our picture's going to be green
today. This
is
the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Yeah, possibly.
That's okay. My only hope is that the audio is not going modulating. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. It's Friday, and we're live in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios, just a little bit early today, because we're getting on the road. We're going to be covering Alabama baseball. We're so excited about that. We will get to that towards the end, just a little overview on that. You're listening to the Joe Gaither Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. We appreciate wherever you find the Joe Gaither Show on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on our Facebook pages, on the social media machines at Joe Gaither 6. Leave us a comment, question, query, or complaint right there. You can leave us a voicemail like our friend Dax. Dax has a voicemail in the tank, 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can be like Dax. Robert from Brookwood left one as well this week. Whatever's on your mind, you can jump in and let us know. We appreciate everybody who's joining us. We're here with Mason Woods. Big, big recruiting weekend. Mason's going to be probably very busy this weekend writing commitments. Maybe. We'll see. For the Crimson Tide, there's a lot of guys in town. We're here with Mason. We're going to talk about Alabama kickoff times. We're going to talk about Greg Sankey's final word in Destin yesterday. He had two different points that I want to talk about. This 7-page document about how strong the SEC is. We're going to talk about court storming, field storming, the new fines, the new systems for that. We're going to also talk about, oh my gosh, the worst thing in the world, NCAA tournament expansion. Literally the worst thing in the world. Do not do this. We're going to talk about that as well. So I've got what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different topics on the chart today. And we appreciate everybody who's jumping in and joining us. With all that said, before we get into it, good morning, Mason. How are we doing? You looking forward to the weekend?
Yeah, doing good today. Like you said, big recruiting weekend coming up. A lot of guys going to be here for their official visits. Many of which have already named Alabama as a finalist, have already locked in commitment dates and things like that. So, for the guys that haven't locked in their commitment dates, though, we will hopefully be seeing some of them make that decision this weekend. We will see.
All right, over under 1.5 commitments. 1.5 commitments. Because, yes, it is a huge weekend. What is it, 14 or so?
14 going to be here.
Right, and all of them are 5-star pluses. The greatest 14 players that have ever played football in their lives are going to be on campus this weekend. But, look, we know how it works. 1.5, that's my number. Or should I set it at 0.5? 1.5 commitments. Are we going to get 2 over the next 4 days?
Oh, it's tough to call. We'll be generous and say yes. I think you're definitely probably getting at least one. Not exactly sure who it's going to be. I think a few of these guys are certainly kind of right on the fence there. I'm really interested by Kenny Darby, who locked in a visit this week, the LSU commit, because he's been committed to LSU for so long now. Doesn't really seem like there's been a whole lot else there. Just kind of a thing where it's like, oh, he made that decision a while ago and it's just been locked in. He doesn't have any other official visits on the schedule for this summer that I've seen. So it seems like he's really only trying to get out and visit one school. And I would imagine if he has a good weekend, maybe we could see a decision coming there.
Mason Woods, you do make the connection with Kenny Darby, correct?
I'm assuming it's the connection I thought it was.
Absolutely. The son of 2003 to 06 running back Kenneth Darby, who had, what, 3,300 yards at Alabama, 11 total touchdowns rushing. He got two more receiving, so 13 total touchdowns in his career. Looks like 3,600 scrimmage yards. Ended up being a seventh-round draft pick.
Yeah, last year, his son, Kenny Darby, is a wide receiver. Last year, 100 receptions, over 1,700 yards, and 24 touchdowns.
All right, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite the stat line. Not every day you see a receiver put up a triple digit in the reception category.
I got a little problem with legacies going to rivals. A small one. Like, obviously, go make your best decision for yourself and choose where you go. But, like, you're a legacy. You don't want to go to Alabama, or the opportunity hadn't presented itself yet. You know, that's just, it's both sides. Sure. It's a two-sided thing. Come on. LSU, you can't find your way at, you know, Florida State. You can't find your way at, you get Clemson. You can't find your way at, what's a good program? I don't want to shortchange the guy. You can't find your way at a good program that's not one of your father's biggest rivals.
Yeah, that's fair. I kind of like it.
Okay.
I kind of respect I kind of respect the move. Go carve your own legacy out. I understand you can do that at a non-rival school, but if you're at that rival school, it's going to feel that much better when you get to stick it to your old pops.
Do you see Justice Fitzpatrick?
No.
Whittled his list down to five schools yesterday.
Oh, man, I missed it.
Well, I didn't send it to you because none of the five schools were in our network. So, Minka Fitzpatrick's younger brother is down to, I think it was Georgia, Texas, Miami. I forgot the other two, but they weren't any of ours. They weren't Alabama, Missouri, Boston College, or Vanderbilt. So, he was down to five, and the outcry was, not Alabama.
I mean, it's possible that he does have a standing offer from Alabama. I'm not sure. I haven't followed his recruitment at all. But like you said just a minute ago, that's a two-way street. That's not just one player. You know, it's not just the player picking the schools. The schools have to also be that interested in that player as well. And there's a decent chance that just given who Alabama's already going after in this class, they might not really be that interested in him as a player. They got a lot of guys, I think. I'm assuming, was he defensive back?
Defensive back, safety, yeah. just like his brother.
They've got a lot of guys, I think, that they're going after that they might be a little interested in more.
Justice, I found the other two. It's Georgia, Florida, Ohio State, Texas, and Miami.
Pretty good crew, though.
Yeah. Come
on. Best of luck to him, you know?
Absolutely. Best of luck to him. Oh, Mason, dealer's choice. You want to go kickoff times, Greg Sankey? Yeah, kickoff times for Greg Sankey while I load Dax's voicemail.
Ooh, let's get into these kickoff times. I feel like that's a nice, quick, easy one here. We can, not anything we didn't, I guess, not anything we weren't super expecting, I guess. I don't think, I don't personally think either of these games are going to be barn burners. Florida State, I mean, it's not in Florida. It's ULM and Wisconsin. Wisconsin will be moderately competitive for two quarters, maybe. But
two and a half.
Yeah, I think not shocked by. I guess, you know, I'm surprised to see Alabama and ULM as late as it is. Figured that would be an earlier game, but again, not overly shocked. I think it was just kind of, all right, where can we squeeze this game in? Oh, we got an opening there. Yeah, throw Alabama and ULM right there. I doubt many people were pushing one way or another for this game to be put in any specific slots.
No, to me, so if you didn't see it yesterday, you can read about it on BamaCentral.com. Our friend Katie Windham handled it yesterday, writing that Alabama's kickoff time against ULM, Mason, just to let you know, 6:45. Is that what I saw?
Yeah, 6:45. Yeah.
And then against Wisconsin, 11 a.m. And so you already knew the Florida State game the week prior is 2:30, right?
Yes, I think you're right.
Midday game.
Make that one. That one should have been the night game. I know Florida State doesn't quite have the same draw that they've had in, you know, decades past, but they're still a good program. Like, that should have been a night game. I think, you know, that's still two big brands of college football. They deserve the spotlight on that night. I mean, I think they fell victim to other games that are really, really good that weekend, so they kind of got pushed out of the spotlight. But I would have liked to have seen that not be a 2:30 game.
I agree with you, just for the heat factor. And,
that too, golly.
But I think Alabama and Wisconsin got the same fate. It's, this is a good game, good marquee game.
Yep.
But ESPN, ESPN and ABC. Now, I would have made the same decisions. ESPN and ABC ends up throwing Georgia. It's a triple header, and goodness gracious.
Yeah, they put out that graphic yesterday, like, everybody get ready. Yeah, it's like, I am ready.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not moving from my couch that day. Actually, I'll be in Bryant-Denny. So we will be rushing home to watch the rest of these games. Alabama-Wisconsin at 11 a.m., and then it's going to flip to Georgia-Tennessee at 2:30, and then we will finish the night with Florida at LSU. Right or left?
That's going to be a game. It's going to be a weekend. Mm-hmm. We got there's many good lineups in the early, you know, early few weeks of the season. We got a lot of really good matchups this year. What is it? Ohio State and Texas playing. What is it? Week one. A lot of good games on the docket. I am very excited for the opening weeks of college football. It's not going to be the typical just, all right, let's get through the first couple weeks and get the conference play. There'll actually be some really good matchups.
What'd you make of the Texas athletic director? Recently, they were like, because Ohio State, they're playing that game at 11 a.m. The Texas athletic director, I guess Ohio State petitioned to get it changed to Sunday night because we want to have a night game under the lights. And the Texas athletic director goes, nah.
Love it. I respect it. He has no reason. He has no loyalty to you, Ohio State. Or, you know, why would he bend to your will whatsoever? That's absolutely the right call. Even if he wanted it to be a night game, you can't relinquish that there.
I loved his reason. The first thing he said, well, why would we have a short week? I think they're playing like San Jose State or something the next week. Like somebody, but just like Western Carolina U. But why would we subject ourselves to a short week? And plus, I need to be at church on Sunday.
Hey, good reason.
There you go. So, sorry, Ohio State, you guys do have to play on Big Noon Kickoff.
Again, I hate Big Noon Kickoff.
It's terrible.
They'll never make me love Big Noon Kickoff. Doesn't matter who they put on there. It's not going
to
be for me.
Maybe as we continue to get older, because I woke up real early this morning. Maybe as we continue to get older, that Big Noon Kickoff is going to be more attractive to us. It's 4:30. I'm getting up to have my coffee. Oh, I've been up for 5-6 hours. I'm ready for some football.
Sure, maybe. You know, one thing I'm noticing this Wisconsin 11 a.m. kickoff. I am thankful for that. Because I feel like it's going to keep those Wisconsin fans. Not that, again, I think this is really going to be much a competitive game. But Wisconsin has rowdy fans. The, you know, jump around in there. 11 a.m. It's going to be tough to get some folks up for that game. Probably a lot tougher than it would be if it was a 6:30 in the afternoon. You know, 6:30 in the evening.
Wasn't it at 11 last year?
I don't know. Was it? Were they up for it last year?
Am I
just sorely mistaken here? They're going to get up for it, even if it was a 9 a.m. game.
Alabama 2024. Wasn't it at 11 a.m.? Well, there's no way for me even to tell, right? The kickoff times. I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, you know, hey, I guess those Wisconsin, you know, I mean, I've not been able to attend the game at Camp Randall. So,
oh, it was awesome.
I've heard nothing but good things about Wisconsin and, you know, Madison, the city surrounding it and everything.
I think it was at 11 a.m. because got out there. I'm pretty positive it was based on my mind. Now everything runs together. But okay, so the point that I was going to make was it was slow. I got to the stadium early because I thought, oh, party atmosphere. These things are going to go crazy. And there was a couple houses doing some things, and there was a couple tailgating areas doing some things. It was crazy. They got into the stadium. They partied. They stayed. They were loud until jump around, and then it was exodus. And then when we left the stadium, it was just like, you know, we didn't even play a game. We didn't even play. We didn't even lose 42 to whatever 10.
I mean, you know, there's got to be something very freeing about being a fan of a team like that, where you just know basically most weeks doesn't really matter what happens here. We're just going to have a good time.
So it's fun. So hopefully the Wisconsin fans come back to come to Tuscaloosa and have a good time. 11 a.m. game. They can enjoy Friday. They can enjoy Saturday night on the Strip.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Little Rounders, little Red Shed.
They can certainly go down to the Strip on a Saturday night.
That is
for sure. That's an option that they have at their disposal.
The fall Saturday nights are a little bit different than the slow spring Saturday nights. In my opinion, I think they're much more fan friendly. I think they're much more party atmosphere and much more. You don't have to watch your back as much.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I hope they enjoy that. And sweet, we're basically into the SEC schedule at that point. You've got all the non-conference games except for the Easter. When they put the graphic out yesterday, I didn't look at it close enough. I thought they were just tweeting out. I thought they were just tweeting out Eastern Illinois and ULM. I thought when I saw 11 a.m., yes, Eastern Illinois, 11 a.m., get that junk out of the way. But no, I looked closer. I was like, all right, so we got the first 3 weeks ahead, determined. 2:30, 6:45, 11 a.m. You make your plans now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'll always, please give me as many night games as you can have, but you know how they like to do it. It'll be a lot of, what we think, 2-3 on the whole year probably.
Night games are so much fun, but from a working perspective, that 11 a.m. Sure. is perfect.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm not the person that has to go in. I just cover recruiting, so.
Hey, it's great on a Saturday night. getting in the spirit, the lights on a Bryant-Denny Stadium. Yeah, that's real nice. So, and hopefully next year when Florida State returns, come on.
We gotta make it happen.
We'll give you the Wisconsin at 11 a.m. ESPN. Next year, can we have Florida State at 6?
I think it's only fair. You give Florida State their what I would call an advantage of having the earlier midday game where it's going to be hotter than the surface of the sun outside. And then they come to Tuscaloosa and they have to play under the crimson and white lights.
Yeah, I'm excited about all that. All right, let's pivot. So now, the like you said, there's not much to get into other than letting you know what the times were and just our immediate reactions. Let's go Dak's voicemail, because I think Dak has a very creative voicemail. Let me see, voicemail, video file, documents. Boom. All right, so you can call on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. I think Dak has a pretty creative voicemail on the docket today. Let's get into what is on his mind.
What is up, guys? It is Dax again. So, I'm going to start this off with a question that I heard on another podcast. Have you ever seen Ryan Williams and Spider-Man in the same room? Nope, I don't think you did. You can't tell me Ryan Williams isn't Spider-Man, dude. So that got me thinking. I want to go through and compare some Alabama football players to superheroes from the DC and Marvel series, respectively, because there's just too many Alabama football players just to do one or the other. So I'm going to start it out with the Batman / Captain America role, the leader, and just the leader figure of the team. And right now at the number one spot, more for Batman, I've got the 3-time national championship winning QB, AJ McCarron. That man could lead anyone. I would follow him through the dang desert if he wanted me to. Love myself some AJ McCarron. And then we've got Captain America from the first movie, Mr. Bryce Young. This man had to carry the entire military through the World War II in the first movie. And that, that's what Bryce Young also had to do on that 2022 thing.
I like that comparison.
I miss me some Bryce Young. He was so nice. If he would have had weapons, dude, that team would have went so far. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, man. He was so nice. Next up, we've got The Flash. Kenyon Drake is the only player that came to mind when it came to this superhero. And then I've got, honorable mention, I've got George Teague for the Miami play when he ran down that dude and stripped it from him from the back. I love myself some George Teague. That highlight makes my day every time I see it. Next up, we've got Spider-Man. Like I said earlier, haven't seen Ryan Williams and Spider-Man in the same room ever, so... Obviously, Ryan Williams is up there. I say Ryan Williams is more Miles Morales. Then I've got the original Deuce, David Palmer. Dude was a goat. He was so good at everything he did. The playmaking ability of this man was through the freaking roof. Love myself some Deuce. Next up, we've got Superman. Only one guy for this role, and that man's name is Julio Jones. Big, strong, fast. Has laser vision and frost breath. I'm pretty sure Julio had x-ray vision too. Julio was just broken. That man was so good. Next up, we've got the Hulk. There's only two choices for this one. I got Derrick Henry for obvious reasons and Rolando McClain for also very obvious reasons. They were just massive human beings on the field. And Derrick Henry literally tossed a lineman. He tossed a lineman with one arm. Oh, my God. Next up, we've got Doctor Strange. This one, I've got Minka Fitzpatrick and Pat Sertan because they could literally teleport to wherever the ball was at.
I like that,
too. They were literally teleporting all over the field when they were and the, oh God, I miss me some Minka at Bama. He was so good. Next up, I've got Deadpool, the talker, Tony Brown. He's the only one that I can freaking think of for Deadpool. For so many reasons. Tony Brown was so good at pissing people off. It was amazing. Next up, I had to put Tua in there. I gave Tua Hawkeye because of the precision that Tua has. Man could put a ball wherever he wanted to on the field. Woohoo! Love me some Tua. Next up, I got Ant-Man. Cyrus Jones. The pipsqueak that could outrun everybody. At least it seemed to me like he was shorter than everybody when he was on the field. But holy crap, the playmaking ability of Cyrus Jones was nice. It looked like he was just shrinking and getting around people the whole time. It was great. Then I got Cyborg, Mr. Reuben Foster, because of that back plate. And Cyborg could also hit very hard, but, you know, mainly because of the back plate. That's all. And then the last up, I got Iron Man. And this is strictly going off of smarts. I've got the Rhodes Scholar himself, Greg McElroy. Dude was just, you know, putting in that work in the books off the field. We love Greg McElroy. I do. I don't know how Alabama fans feel about Greg, but he is one of the most unbiased college football reporters on the face of the planet, in my opinion. And then honorable mention, Barrett Jones, Mr. 4.0 GPA. Dude was just the most decorated football player ever. All right, that's what I got for my Alabama football players compared to superheroes. Hope y'all enjoy and let me know what y'all think. Roll Tide.
What a concept. What a concept. One, I appreciate you putting a lot of work in
really
and thought.
You really put a lot of thought into that.
Yeah, that was about a half dozen, eight or so superheroes all paired with Alabama players. I love the concept. So who did he get wrong? Who did he get right? What is you think? You can leave us a voicemail like Dax, 205-462-7340, extension 800. Yes, we are nerds on this show. I have no shame in that. Big time. DC or Marvel?
Historically, I've been more of a Marvel person, but more recently, it seems like DC has stepped up their game a little bit. Some of these new movies look pretty good.
I grew up on DC stuff because Batman was always the guy.
Dude, yeah, the Dark Knight series, or that trilogy, one of the best. That's one of the best trilogy of movies that's ever been made.
But Marvel's awesome. And Deadpool probably my favorite superhero there is, just because of the regenerative factor and the not giving a care. You know, I'm just going to be me. Love the authenticity of Deadpool. All right. I wrote two corrections in my opinion. The Flash, he ended up, with George Steig, was that right?
Kenyon Drake,
yes. I wrote Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's got to be one of the, it's got to be either him or Jameson Williams, one of the two fastest guys that has been through the program probably ever. I like the pick, don't get me wrong, but I think those two guys, you know, just a little bit faster.
One tick above.
Yeah.
And then for Superman, I liked his pick, but I cannot escape the Superman sack, Jonathan Allen. We didn't do 93 yesterday because of we were hijacked by LeBaron Filon's news. So for yesterday's 93, and because of the Superman sack, the dive or whatever through the Texas A&M line, I like Jonathan Allen as Superman. But I love all his picks. He has Derrick Henry as Hulk. Like when he was talking about Superman, I first wrote Derrick Henry, then he got to it, and I was like, no, that's a good pick. Hulk is a good pick. Rolando McClain as Hulk as well is a good pick. What did you think of his list, his creativity?
I thought it was some good ones. I came up with a few as well for guys that are on this year's team, and then one I do have one former player. Dijon Lee, Mr. Fantastic. Extremely long. You can stretch out and reach everything.
Yes.
Bray Hubbard is Wolverine.
Yes.
Small, little compact frame. He's going to light you up, as all Wolverine does. And then Parker Brailsford, I don't know if you're Juggernaut, you know, the guy that wears the big helmet, yeah, just bowls people over. And then Jalen Hurts, my one former player, has to be Silver Surfer. Just extremely stoic, speaks completely monotone, is always thinking about some big concept. Yeah, that one felt right to me.
I love all those picks. Jalen Hurts coming back after OTAs. And they're like asking him about, oh, how's it feel to be a Super Bowl champion or something? And
we're going to talk about next season.
Never even biting. We're into 2025. We're trying to talk about this year's team.
He's a true protege of Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He really embodies that whole like Alabama media training.
That, and I think it's like Belichick through Saban to Jalen Hurts. Obviously, it wasn't direct, sure. But we're buddies. No, this is how I like to do.
Down, you know, yeah.
Oh yeah.
You think so, when they do that, you know, they because obviously they have courses, their little classes, and they put these players through for media training. How many Jalen Hurts clips do you think they're showing them in there?
Jalen Hurts
compilation. Yeah, you sit down and watch this, an hour of Jalen Hurts one liners.
And Bryce Young now.
Yeah. Oh man, I still Bryce Young and that clip of the kid asking him, "Are you famous?" And he's saying, "Depends on who you ask, man." That's like the best answer I've ever heard to that question ever.
What you think, Bryce Young? He was on OTAs talking about Tetero McMillan. I see something special. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
I believe that's going to be a very good connection. You know, the two California guys, I think just getting Bryce a bigger target that he can. I mean, not that I thought Bryce looked really good the last three, four, five games, you know, games of last season. He was really looked like he had finally kind of gotten comfortable in the NFL and was being able to, you know, do a little bit of what he was doing at Alabama, where he was really able to read the field and see and make his reads and everything. But I think giving him an option like Tetero McMillan, who is just a bigger body guy, who kind of, not that he's going to do this a lot, but when in doubt, throw it to T-Mac and he's going to go get a grab. Like, it's, I think it'll be really nice for him to have that kind of option.
Yesterday, this young man, Jacob Gibbs, tweeted, Jacob Gibbs, Fantasy Football Today newsletter, tweeted a 10.5-minute video of Bryce Young under pressure in 2024. Guys, football plays last 7 seconds. Maybe 10. Ooh. Maybe 10 seconds. And
that's crazy.
His clip says, "This is one of the longest verse pressure videos that I've ever made," which is telling in and of itself. He played fewer games than most quarterbacks, too. And when you see all the plays, you gain a real appreciation for what Bryce Young showed us in 2024. This is at Jacob Gibbs, J.A. Gibbs underscore 23. 10.5 minutes, 10:15, excuse me, 10:17 of Bryce Young just dodging bullets left and right, trying to move this Carolina offense down the field. So hopefully he's able to do that. Hopefully he's able to stay alive this year, not get ear-holed by some of these angry defensive linemen.
Yeah, last three games of the year, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions for Bryce Young. So I think he figured that, started to figure it out a little bit there at the end.
I kind of like Bryce Young as a little bit of a Doctor Strange type, putting it through the ball through the portals.
No, I don't hate that.
Put it through the portals. Wizard man, you know, space-time continuum.
Yeah, he just snaps the ball, eyes roll back into his head, and he just floats above, you know. Yeah.
I'm up with that. Great call, Dax. I appreciate your call and the concept. Well, if you got Alabama players that you think are comparable to superheroes, go ahead and hit us on the voicemail line, 205-462-7340, extension 800. Let's pivot real quick to 92 days. It's 92 days away from Alabama football, and we'll just go right into Jeremiah Beamon because he is the 92 on the roster. And I think Jeremiah Beamon's going to get, what, 20% of the defensive line snaps? I mean, obviously, he's not going to be your starter, duh. Sure. But I think he's going to be one of your first time, one of your first guys rolling off the bench to spell your Tim Keenans, mm-hmm. to spell some of James Smith. But you got Jordan Renaud doing that too. I think he and Tim Keenan are going to be just tagging in and out, tag team partners going in and out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about it a lot. Like this coaching staff, I think they've shown us they really like to rotate guys and get a lot of, you know, get fresh legs out on the field because they feel that good about the depth that they have at just about every position out there. So, it would not shock me one bit to see Jeremiah Beamon be a, you know, a pretty consistent face in this rotation. While he's not going to be the starter, you'll definitely be seeing him. I think he has a good year.
All right, so let's tackle a concept that just hit me. I'm on RollTide.com. 92 days away makes me automatically think of Quinnen Williams.
Mm-hmm. Me too. That was one of my first. My mind went immediately.
Right, and Quinnen left Alabama as a redshirt sophomore. Mm-hmm.
After what a year.
Exactly. You're following our track here. He drafted, what, 3-4 overall by the Jets?
I think it was third.
And made himself a lot of money. After not playing, like, at all. I mean, a little, sure, here, sprinkled, but not really, no role at all until that redshirt sophomore season where he is just wrecking people. The quickness of his step, the heaviness in the hands, the agility just to squeeze through these gaps and light some people up. So, Mason Woods, what redshirt sophomore on this roster could turn themselves into, okay, top five is crazy, a first-round draft pick?
Oh, man.
This just hit me on the fly. I'm just like, all right, so here we go. I'm seeing redshirt sophomores. I've got it sorted by class. Okay. Quay Russo, Cameron Howard, Cole Adams, Jalen Hale, Cam Calhoun, Richard Young, Austin Mack, Jordan Renaud, Keon Keeley, Connor Talti, Yanzi Pierre, Jaden Hobson, Rock Montgomery, Olas Olenin, Wilkin Formby, Arkell Enugwum. This is a huge class. Edric Hill. Wow. That's it. Edric Hill is the last one.
I mean, I think the answer, I guess, has to start with Quay Russo, right? You know, I think that has to be your answer there.
Quay Russo with a dozen sacks gets himself as a first round pick.
I think that certainly would do it. You know, man, I would love to see him and LT Overton combine for about 25. Like, oh, that would be great.
Just crunching teams from each side of the line.
Yeah. That, but yeah, no, I think that would, I think Quay Russo is probably my answer there. Not many of those other guys do I really think have much of a chance of even playing, you know, like, even some of the offensive linemen, you know, Olas Olenin and Wilkin Formby. I don't really think either of those guys are much on NFL radar right now, given if they get 2 years of starting ability under their belt, you know, this year and another season, they might be there. But I don't think they're necessarily candidates to do it after one. Yeah, Quay Russo is probably my answer there.
Let me make sure that Roll Tide did get spun forward. Yes, okay.
AK Deer is listed as
a freshman. Good. Okay, it is spun forward to the next year. Yeah, Richard Young, redshirt sophomore. So I like where your head's at. I think you're right with the offensive lineman, probably going to take him another year to get on the radars. But I'm going to throw two at you that I think, this is Coach Saban, throw some bleep on the wall and see what sticks. But Cam Calhoun, cornerback, and Jordan Renaud, defensive lineman. I think if both of those guys get enough run to where they say, oh, the skills are there, the tools are there, the shell is there, we want you, buddy. You did enough. I think those two guys could. I mean, you made a great point. It's going to be hard for them to crack the field enough, but
I really like Cam Calhoun. I think he's a guy who, like,
I do too.
I think he's somebody that could surprise everybody with how much he ends up playing this
year. I agree.
I think he could, you know, very much be, you know, someone that steals some playing time from someone else, and it's like, oh, who is that guy? And
then, take the Husky role all for himself.
Yes, I think he could definitely do that. I mean, you know, we only got to see him at spring, but he looked very, very impressive in the little bit we got to see there.
If Richard Young breaks out for, like, I'm the second running back, but I showed you enough.
Josh Jacobs type year.
Quentin Williams, what a monster.
I was going, that's all.
What a monster.
Man, yeah. Quentin, what he did was very rare. Like, that's not, you know, right. What he did is not something that's going to happen very often, hardly ever. Like, very, very rare what he was able to do. He was so extremely dominant that year. And now, I mean, not to say his brothers aren't good NFL players, but I would imagine a lot of his dominance has helped his brothers get on NFL rosters as well, because now he gets to play with both of his brothers on the Jets.
I thought it was just one brother. He's
one of
two?
Them, I think, got signed as an undrafted free agent, so I don't know if he might have already been cut by now. Okay. Who knows? But regardless, Quentin Wade, like, that was crazy what he was able to do that year.
And just unblockable.
Yeah.
From going from hardly playing to, my hands are so quick, you are not going to touch me. His swipe the hand away. Was just
like a grizzly bear.
Right.
Like, it's just, it was insane. He's so scary out there. He was so quick off the ball, quick hands, quick feet, and then just so much power.
What was the question?
Something about Kyler Murray. What do you think about Kyler Murray winning the Heisman or something? I don't think Kyler Murray is really. No comment.
Yeah, Roll Tide.
And then, you know, he goes to his pre-draft process. He sneezes and then, bless you, thank you.
What a guy.
Love him.
Oh, man.
No, it was so sad that we only got to have him for like 1 year. I mean, I know he was here longer, but wasn't a premier player, a featured player.
Man.
No, I think, you know, I like Richard Young as far as other players in this redshirt sophomore. I think, you know, we mentioned Josh Jacobs just a minute ago. I was going back the other day and look like that last year that Josh Jacobs had, he did not crack 15. He didn't get more than 15 touches, and I don't think in like maybe one game that whole season. And the guy was picked, what, like 7th or 8th overall or something to the Raiders?
Yeah, that last year with Alabama, he ended up with 640 rushing yards. I mean,
come on.
640 rushing yards, 250 receiving yards.
Yeah.
His final year at Alabama, it was 887 yards from scrimmage for, 14 touchdowns. Richard Young, the bar ain't that high, bro. No,
all you got to do is show. All you have to do is show the NFL what you can do. They will find you, especially at Alabama.
Absolutely. So 92 days away from kickoff. We appreciate Dax's voicemail. I'm a little fun today, man. The juices are flowing. We love it. We are a little early today just because we're going to Hattiesburg. We're going to Hattiesburg with Will Miller, Theo Fernandez to cover Alabama's baseball regional. You can follow that on BamaCentral.com, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Follow Real WB Miller for the real baseball news. You know,
he wrote a breakdown in Miami, I don't know, yesterday, day before. Like, very, very informative.
I'll tell you something that I found funny. I had a friend. I was doing the SEC tournament this past week. And I had a friend go, "Are you covering the tournament?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I can't tell by your tweets." I said, "Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right.
I'm terrible at using the social media. I will scroll Twitter for hours, but I'm terrible at putting out tweets. Yeah, I mean, you saw I put the one this week. That took me a lot of convincing to finally just be like, I gotta get something out about Xavier Griffin. I don't know. I can never find myself doing it, but I got to get into it more as well.
Yeah.
It is an important part of what we do.
1,000%. So Will Miller will be, I bet you I'll be doing the live blog. I bet you that since I'm the low man on the baseball totem pole, which is totally fine, I'll be typing the live blog on Bama Central. And Will and Theo will give you the actual analysis.
He's going to be the first. Have you ever been to Hattiesburg?
No, I never have.
I've never been either. I'm interested to, you know, I'll be interested to hear your report on how the stadium is and everything. I imagine it's pretty nice down there.
We're going
to
be bumping Afro Man the whole 2.5 hours.
That's pretty good.
Absurd in Hattiesburg. Can't sing the rest of that song because it's so inappropriate on this show. So it's going to be a lot of fun over there. Oh, good. My hotspot charging device. It's good. You've been plugged in for a while. You need to be charging. Let's pivot real quick to Greg Sankey because I've got two Greg Sankey pieces and then really something ancillary that Greg Sankey not directly involved in, but sort of involved in, I guess, by default because of administration. As we pivot, I wanted to let you know that we are live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Look, if you need insurance, if you're not feeling good about your insurance, if you're not feeling good about your policies, you can just call them. 205-758-3391. That doesn't commit you to anything. That'll just get you on the phone talking about your policies. They can run you a quick auto insurance quote, auto, home, life insurance, boaters insurance as the summer's coming up. Summer's coming up, moving season. You may need to update your renter's insurance. Derek Daniel, you get live people on the phone. Red and Victoria are upstairs. 205-758-3391. Real people on the phone. Dude, that's huge to me, because if I get in an accident, I want to be able to talk to Derek and say, "Hey man, I think I just got in an accident, and what do I do?" And I have had that happen before, and he said, "Here's what you do. It'll be okay, Joe. Take a deep breath." That's why I like local coverage, and you need it with Derek Daniel. Call him at 205-758-3391. All right, Greg Sankey finishes the SEC spring meetings yesterday, and we'll go with the easiest topic first. He updates the court storming policy, the field and court storming policy. There is no more escalating scale. Last year, Vanderbilt hit it 3 times. Vanderbilt got it for football, and then twice in the span of a week in basketball goes against Tennessee and against Kentucky, right? So, yeah, you pulled off 2 top 10 upsets, but you cost your school $850,000. After the Kentucky court storming, Vanderbilt imposed a self-imposed court storming policy of, "We'll let you on the floor after everyone clears. You can party on the floor." And that is a way to mitigate this policy. You can, if you allow the visitors to clear the playing surface, then the rest is up to you. Clemson comes to mind, right? Clemson always is on the field.
Yeah, I never really followed. I wonder how that worked for him this past Did they have any more?
I don't think they had another like historic big time moment.
I'd be interested to see.
Georgia basketball also implemented this prop policy, and they did get a hey, wait, and then we'll get you on the floor there. The new policy is as such: 500,000. Period. Doesn't matter. First time offense. Doesn't matter. 500,000. Every time. 500K to the opposing school. And then we'll determine if we need to ramp up extra escalation. Mason Woods, what do you think about field storming, court storming, just the whole concept, and Greg Sankey charging these schools, charging these hooligans a lot more?
I mean, I think it's a valid – it sucks for the school because, like, at the end of the day, school has really nothing to do with whether or not – it's all just – there's thousands and thousands of people there. If they want to storm
hire
the field,
better security.
Yeah, sure. You're going to hire 100,000 security guards to stop every person in
rubber bullets. You get a rubber bullet on a court, on a field stormer, and
that's worse. That's worse than losing $500,000. That's your entire image and everything. Your PR is horrible. Now, there's not a lot of, you know, it is unfortunate for the school. I think someone has to be held at least somewhat accountable. So it is going to fall on the school because you're the one putting on this event. You're the one whose team it is. You're the one hosting, whatever it is. So it is going to fall on their shoulders. And I think that I like the flat 500. I thought, you know, I didn't really have an issue with the escalating scale, but I like now that it's like, all right, guys, we've seen that clearly this is not getting the message through enough. So let's just ramp it up just a bit. Flat $500,000. Because what was it? 250 and then 250.
It was 100. It was 250. Okay. And then it was five.
That's it.
So what ended up happening, Oklahoma, their first offense this past year, they ended up getting fined 200K. Why? Because they rushed the field early. You get an extra 100K for being on the field early. Ole Miss got fined. It was their second offense.
They've been paying out because, I mean, they had obviously the whole thing with the mustard bottles and oh, that was Tennessee, wasn't it?
Right.
Too Ole Miss, yeah.
So it ends up Ole Miss upsetting Georgia this year. They also got on the field early. So instead of the 250,000, it was 350.
Which that one was so sad.
If you're going to rush it, wait till it's zeros.
Well, like, sure, obviously you got to do that. But also, like, Ole Miss has been a 10-win team for 3, 4, 5 years now.
But they still see themselves, man.
I guess
they look at themselves in the mirror as the underdog, as the slighted.
Sure. It just really, really made you look that way.
They look at themselves in the mirror as a program that's never won an SEC championship.
That should have been we beat Georgia, we're finally here. Not a, oh my God, we beat Georgia. This is never gonna happen again. It probably never will happen again, but you shouldn't have treated it that way.
I wrote about this for the Vanderbilt site, and I was on the field at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just filming just because I think this is a good – I put our 11-minute video from Bama Central in that article, and I'm basically asking the Oklahoma fans at that moment, what are y'all doing? Why are you doing this? You are Oklahoma, and the fans are all around me. Oh, you just never get a chance to do it. Oh, we're bowl eligible. And I said, you're bowl eligible? I looked up, 26 years in a row of bowls for Oklahoma. And it's just like you really – are going to celebrate it like that.
It's just, and we talked about this a lot throughout the season when it was happening. I think it's become less about the actual like sporting event and more about just, oh, I want to storm a field,
mm-hmm.
get my video, get my, you know, whatever, wherever you're going to post it, Instagram, yes. Twitter, TikTok, whatever you do, you know, it's less about celebrating the victory of the team. It's more about, well, I just want to have this experience so I can show everyone else I did it.
Yeah. Me and my college friends are all on the 50-yard line, yes. on the logo, taking our picture. Me and my mama, mm-hmm. me and my girlfriend, whoever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, on the logo. Yes. It's about the photo.
So, I guarantee there was a lot of, there were real Oklahoma fans in the stands there.
Yeah,
but I bet
course.
There was a lot of very dedicated Oklahoma fans sitting at home watching it on the TV that were very pissed off to see that field storming happen.
It was weird. It was weird. But now that we're talking about it, it was very much like, we're just here to party. It's not about actually upsetting Alabama. We're just, it's a chance to be on the field.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it's turned into now with just how frequent it is. And like, I don't know. I don't know what to
do. It's dangerous.
It is.
I'm going to sound like such a boomer saying that.
Yeah.
But like, it is dangerous. When I'm on the field at Oklahoma, like, I'm thinking, I got to be a journalist. I have to run in with this crowd and get all this photo, this yeah. video, just so people can. But in my brain, I'm thinking, if somebody steps into my bubble, elbow to the face, I don't care. Like, and I'm usually not like that. Yeah. I'm really. But like to me, I was thinking, it's about to be stampede. Mm-hmm. There's 85,000 people, 90,000 people behind yeah. me, and we're all going on the field. If somebody gets in my bubble, it's about to be Joe needs to protect himself. Mm-hmm.
If somebody falls down, you think 90,000 people are stopping to help them get up? You know, no, they're not even going to notice. They're like, it's extremely, extremely dangerous. You know, it was not exactly the right response from Jermaine Burton. Sure, he maybe shouldn't have been as aggressive with that fan as he mm-hmm. was, but you have to consider the actual weight of the situation yes. where he has been on this field and now there are 70,000 people, whatever it was, crashing down the gates or rushing onto the field, ripping down signs.
It's a scary scene. Yeah.
And somebody runs up in his face with a camera and he smacks it out of the hand.
Mm-hmm. It's a scary scene. Know? You can see it on the Bama Central YouTube channel if you have never seen a POV of a field storming. I'm sitting yeah. there in the end zone, and I know that the clock still has time on it, but people are running. Mm-hmm. And so I'm running too. I make it to the 50-yard line. Everybody's doing their stuff, and you can hear the Oklahoma, the game is not over. Please clear the stadium. The game is not over. Please. And Joe finds himself on the Alabama bench, right behind all the Alabama players and right next to Greg Byrne, as Greg Byrne is trying to.
What do you think about this, Greg?
I thought about that, but I was like, no, this situation just.
Hey, Greg, pretty crazy, huh?
I literally was like, should I go talk to him? But I was like, no, just watch. Just mouth shut, eyes open, ears
yeah.
open.
Yeah.
And he was. Professional, but it was Greg Byrne was definitely, how do I get these players and these guys off the, and as it was setting up, the like before they actually rushed the field, the Alabama equipment staff is rolling carts yeah. off the,
because that's another thing we haven't even discussed, and we've talked about it before, but
dude, Tennessee's
yes, the amount of equipment that could get stolen, and like that is potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment in those in those little like rolling cart things that they have. They open up, you got dozens of pairs of shoulder pads, helmets, and things, all $300, $400, $500, $600 a pair.
iPads,
you know, whatever. I mean, all kinds of equipment. And yes, that could very easily get stolen in a situation like that. Which I know these programs make a lot of money, but just a $500,000 expense getting dropped on you in the middle of the season is going to hit any of them pretty hard.
So I think it's a good thing. Good job, Greg Byrne. Do I think it will stop the fans? No, but I do think it will bolster the administration to try to figure out ways to avoid these fines. And look, I think Vanderbilt showed you, we're going to put a 60-second clock up. When the clock hits zero, no one's going to stop you. Security's not going to give you a hard time. It's going to be fine. I think that's a great way to
we need to do that and then trick them. Once they all get onto the court,
you're arrested
and they're going to jail. Lifetime ban, baby.
Face scans. You are never in this stadium again.
Have we, and I'm sure we've discussed it, and I probably just don't remember, whatever. The money that gets paid, is that paid directly to the SEC or does it go to the opposing school?
Okay. Yeah. It's like a, we're sorry.
Yes.
Maybe this will help some of the equipment. So I think it's a good thing for Greg.
I think so too.
Okay. Was it Peter Burns? I like this. Somebody tweeted all seven pages of this document. Was it Brandon Marcello? I think it was Brandon Marcello. I have it in my like.
Murphy just tweeted a little one page of it.
Right. But I got so many dang likes.
I'll tell you what I am seeing here. This is not really anything notable, so we can just get through it quick. I did not realize this, but did you know that coordinators are in the college football game now?
I saw that yesterday, but yeah. I didn't realize it either.
Are we gonna get Ryan Grubb in the game now?
Yeah, he's bored. Maybe Nick Sheridan?
Do they put co coordinators in the game, or do you got to be the only guy?
Come on, Heather. I thought it was you, Heather. Maybe it was Brandon Marcello.
Brandon Marcello.
Either way, in my opinion, at least.
Oh, yeah, it was Brandon Marcello. Perfect. Brandon Marcello, B. Marcello on the Twitter machine shares all seven pages of this document. The SEC ends its spring meetings by giving the powers to be, the media, a 7-page document titled A Regular Season Gauntlet.
This comes off as so desperate.
Whiny.
So whiny and desperate and just, oh, look at me, please, please.
The facts are accurate, but the perception is just horrid. All right.
Because you don't have to do this. Like, anybody that really knows, anybody whose opinion is really worth anything in this discussion, they have a pretty good understanding of just how good the SEC is and what they're, you know, what kind of schedules they're going against.
The subtext, when looking at leading metrics that factor into strength of schedule, the conclusion across all of them is clear. No other conference has a regular season as grueling as the SEC. We flip to page number 2. It's got a metric summary. We're going to use strength of record. We're going to use the S&P Plus, an efficiency ranking. We're going to use the Massey metric, which is a blended model. We're going to use the FPI, Football Power Index. We're going to use SOS. These are from Bill Conley. These are from Kenneth Massey. These are from ESPN as in kind of different ways. Okay, so that gives us our language of this document. We're also going to use strength of record. We're going to this document's on there twice. The first document lists the metric. It gives the summary of what it is. Strength of record created by ESPN evaluates how difficult a team's record is to achieve given its schedule, focuses on the outcome without considering margin of victory. The next section, why it's used. Strength of record highlights the challenge of achieving top records in tough conferences. Example, how likely a top 25 team is to achieve a specific record. The next page shows the focus. What is the focus? Resume strength. The key use validates the difficulty of record. And then it goes objective or predictive. This is an objective metric. They basically categorize 1, 2, 3, all 5 of these metrics, the S&P Plus, the Massey, the FBI, SOS, as either objective or predictive or a blended method. Basically, you're just, in my opinion, you're just highlighting these things and being like, is this some fan's opinion? Yes. No, it's not a fan's opinion. They're doing the exact thing that I do in my group chats. Like, it's not a dadgum, it's not the Joe Gaither poll that says Alabama should be a top 10 team because you beat Georgia and, okay, losing to Vanderbilt's not as bad as you think in your brain. Come on, Vanderbilt's actually good. Oh, actually, maybe Alabama's 12, 13. Oklahoma loss is horrible. That one, yeah, you got me.
Got but no like, argument against it.
People, Joe, you're saying the losses don't matter. No, I'm saying the wins matter more. But basically, the ESPN, like Greg Sankey, you're getting.
This is my favorite reply I see here on Twitter under one of these. We should have all the SEC teams play in a round robin style playoff. 2 pods. Each team plays 9 other SEC teams. Winner of each pod plays for the champion of the universe.
Don't we do that sort of?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, SEC championship in December?
Our friend Coug 71 there, a little fed up with this, I think.
The next page, the SEC is the top conference the past 10 years across a variety of metrics. AP top 25 finishes, college football appearance, average member S&P Plus, average member FPI, average member Massey poll, average member SOS, average member strength of ranking.
But they overinflate the SEC, so the strength of record and strength of schedule are useless metrics, Joe. There's no track record to support that the SEC is the best conference in the nation, in the country. There's no proof of that, Joe. Come on. It's right. Foolish to think that.
So we're halfway through this document, and my thought is, what are we doing, Greg?
I don't know.
What's the point here? Because there's got to be, he's not an idiot. He's not doing this without reason, right? There's got to be thought here. And this is to, you've got the media captivated in Destin, basically. You've got the college football media that's there. And this is him just, do you think this is his kind of clap back to last November, December of all the people? Well, Alabama, South Carolina aren't really, Ole Miss, you know, not really that good. This is the clap back to Vanderbilt is awful, right? This is like to me, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Because you lost to Oklahoma, Alabama, you lose to Oklahoma, you're out. Like, sorry, that's the bad loss. But you talk to the average fan. Sorry, this is going to upset some of my friends. You talk to the average fan, and the first thing they say is, well, y'all lost to Vanderbilt. The Vanderbilt team that also played Texas to a three-point game the next week. Mm-hmm. The Vanderbilt team that beat Auburn on the road. Like, the Vanderbilt team that was almost... Okay, they lose to Georgia State. I get that. Like, that's not good. That's not a good loss. But the Vanderbilt loss is not the bad loss here. It's the Oklahoma loss. This is all a response to, oh, you beat South Carolina, you beat Clemson, but it wasn't good enough because you lost on the road to Alabama. Sure. You lost by 2-3 on the road at Alabama. Next page, SEC only has two teams outside the top 50 in average strength of rating over the past 10 years. Providing clear evidence of the rigor of its regular season compared to other conferences. And it continues, This is all just propaganda to, and it's accurate propaganda, but it is propaganda, but to essentially fight against the, oh, why aren't y'all going to nine games? You need to go to nine games.
Yeah.
And this is all just information to, oh, we don't need to go to nine games. Eight is enough. And you should realize this, media, because you guys have been covering it the whole time.
I disagree. I mean, I guess it is. Just go to nine games. Take any question out of it. Take away the need to make these stupid documents. You're not going
to. Yeah. I mean, you're
exactly
right.
You're trying to convince. Mind is made up. You are not going to change their opinion on what they feel.
In their minds,
nine games.
The SEC is overrated, and it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many national championships they win.
Canales of the world will continue to cherry pick stats that make the SEC look bad, and thousands of people will follow it and say, "Oh yes, the SEC overrated."
Did you see Danny yesterday?
It was at Vanderbilt, Georgia State, because I just saw that come through my Twitter
feed. No, well, maybe. The one that I saw from Danny Cannell was, SEC was so tough that a school from the Big 12 could come in the first year and play for the title game. Response I saw was, well, the ACC was so tough that a school from
Group of Five,
could come in and play for the title game. SMU. It's like, use your dang brains, people.
I think it does not. You are not going to change people's minds. This is going to be really mean, but like, stupid people, you're not changing their opinion. Stupid people are going to continue to be stupid. There's a lot of stupid people out there. Stop trying to argue with a stupid person. Just play the nine games. Then you can't argue. Then
exactly.
There's no argument.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's not an argument. We're not even having a conversation. Just play the nine games.
Play the nine games. You heard Oklahoma and Texas basically saying, oh, we're in favor of the nine games. I think it was Oklahoma. We're in favor of the nine games because of our rivalry with Texas. We can play a neutral site in Dallas, and then each program can have four home games, four SEC home games. He says at eight, it's kind of one program has three home games, one has four because of the neutral site location.
I didn't even think about that. That's pretty good. I guess same goes for, Georgia, Florida.
I mean, it will end up being a little bit imbalanced for some programs. You have 5 1 year, you have 4 another year. But to me, it just makes too much sense.
Yeah.
It just makes too much sense to erase ULM off your – you want to keep your Eastern Illinois? I hate you for that. But I know you're going to do it. Erase ULM off your schedule. Well, I guess in this case, for Alabama, they would be erasing – a potential Wisconsin or Florida State we can't add another Power 5 game. Okay, fine. It stinks to not have that marquee game, but at least you're playing. The arguments are eliminated, and I think that's what I would really strive for.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just insane that we're still having this argument now. Just play the nine games.
All right, one more topic for us after we tell you about Warren Tyron Auto.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad on University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
One more topic for us on the day, and it really drives me nuts. So many people think that I'm like, look, okay, all right, never mind. Look, the NCAA tournament does not need to be expanded, period. I didn't know how to like get into it, but like there it is. There's the take. You do not need to expand the NCAA tournament. No, Charlie Baker, yeah, on Thursday, says he sees value in expanding the NCAA tournament by a handful of teams and wants to reach the decision in a matter of months.
I would like for him to give me detailed reasons or detailed examples of the value that he sees in that. Because he can't, other than, oh, I'll make more money.
Drives me crazy. The goal, that would be the goal, to try to do this for next year. We've been talking about 72 and 76. So, okay. Bill Self is speaking from the Big 12 meetings. He said the league's coaches would be in favor of expanding the NCAA tournament. Of course they would. We all want to get in. We all want an NCAA tournament appearance on our resume. Of course you would. There is a very clear path of how you get in the NCAA tournament. Extremely clear. Like, for all the hell we give the college football playoff, the NCAA tournament has a very laid out path. Now, my issue, it's going to get expanded.
It'll happen. It's money. It's more TV, more TV revenue and everything, more sponsorships.
So here's what we need to fight for, because fighting against expansion is pointless. It's futile. It's going to happen. You're going to go to 72 or 76. What you need to fight for is not the 14th and 15th and 16th SEC school. I'm sorry. Love it. Great. Roll Tide. SEC. Woo, it just means more. Awesome. What you need to fight for, absolutely, is the next is a second school from the Sun Belt, a second school from the A-10, a third school from the A-10, whatever the case may be. Rocco Miller. Rocco Miller is a college hoop bracketologist. How about instead of expansion, we give two automatic bids to the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference, the American, the A-10, the Missouri Valley Conference, SoCon, Conference USA, and plus one out large. These seven leagues have earned it.
I don't hate that.
Like,
your two teams that play for your conference title get to go to the tournament.
There's no reason that St. Mary's and Gonzaga should be worried that their loser gets left out. Now, obviously, those two programs have kind of worked themselves past that. But you get, okay, my cousin who went to UTC. UTC had a good year, but they ended up in the NIT. Like, that could have been an NCAA tournament team. Maybe more than, was Mississippi State one and done? I think they were. They lost to Michigan State, right? They lost to Michigan State in the first round, I'm pretty sure. And look, Mississippi State, great. I respect you, Chris Jans. Awesome. But if you're going to expand the tournament, which you are, you have to not make it about the 15th team in the ACC, the 15th team in the Big 12, the 15th team in the SEC. Like, people gave me a lot of hell this year because of how many teams in the SEC qualified. I think you earned it, basically.
Yeah, just about all the teams that did.
But you don't throw South Carolina in there just because they got their doors blown off by every other SEC school, and they've got talent. Right. That's what I would encourage the college basketball media to start fighting for. Instead of, because expansion, look, guys, it's a losing argument. The money people are going to do that. Yep. So you need to be fighting for Austin Clonch's UTSA. Yep. You need to be fighting for Charlie Hendry. Yeah, Charlie Hendry. Right. Well, he's at UCF now.
Oh, yeah,
you're exactly right. You need to be fighting for Brian Hodgson at UCF. Need to be fighting for Charlie Hendry at Georgia Southern. You need to be fighting for Antoine Petway at Kennesaw State. Like, Bama's going to get in if you do the right things. The path's going to be right. If you're an SEC school that's found yourself on the bubble and you're out,
he deserved to be there.
Yes. I'm sorry. Like, it's harsh and sucks for you, but like the path is very clear. Go a little above 500, win some in league play, win some non-conference action, schedule good, schedule well, and win some in the non-conference, and don't be embarrassing in your conference tournament. You're going to be in the tournament. Here's your 9 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, Vanderbilt was in this year. Vanderbilt was not an elite SEC school. Not they got a couple means. Of good wins. Mm-hmm. They won some non-conference games. But when Auburn came to Nashville, Auburn blew the doors off of them. But Vandy still gets a 10 seed because of the path is clear.
Yeah.
To me, the college basketball media needs to stop fighting expansion. John Rothstein, you're exactly right. Expansion is horrible. Expansion is the worst thing that could happen to the sport. But it's going to happen to the sport. So we need to pivot and fight for the small guys.
Yeah, I am in complete agreement with you. I think that would be great. We don't need to see the worst teams from the best leagues in the league. And there's a reason they were the worst teams. Like,
that's about my only point there. Because I think that it's futile to talk about, yeah, we shouldn't expand it. It is a perfect product. It's a perfect product the way it is. When you put in the first four, in 2013, yeah, 14, 12.
I remember. Dude,
we talked about first four with Theo once, and he goes, it's always been there, right?
Oh! No, I was like, I remember it happening.
I am old. I
remember the move.
I am old when I remember Dayton being a thing. Okay, you put the first four in, and I hated it, and yeah, still do, and still wonder if it's even part of the NCAA tournament. No, you're in a play-in pod in Dayton.
I don't really consider it.
But you did it. Okay. The Dayton economy is booming for 3 days. Great. And good for them. They, you know, I'm for all of that. You're going to expand it again. Just make sure you do it right. Just do it in the best way possible where not your South Carolina this past year gets in. Sorry, Nick Pringle. We love you, buddy. But, like, yeah, didn't deserve to be in the NCAA tournament.
This same argument we're having with the college football playoff. You know, expansion is inevitable. Just please do it right.
That's all I got today, Mason.
Yeah, all I got today.
All right, please leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can leave us a comment at MAWoods_@JoeGaither6 at Bama Central. We see you on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We see you on the Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. You leave us a comment right there. You make me so happy. We got to talk to you on Monday on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
The car from Carvana's here.
Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.